Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS, Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automation, sono audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home or business tech needs, give them a call at 1-800-690-2029. Or go to htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you.
On this beautiful Monday morning.
Yeah.
The 5th. This is the best time
of
year, right?
Number. Yeah.
Do you like October?
I do. Mm-hmm. I love September and October. Yeah. They're like my favorite here. I think everyone loves it.
So good morning. Introduce yourself so the world knows who you are.
Okay. My name is Julie. Alexander Derrick. Julie Derrick, not Derrick's son, as you thought.
Well, I didn't. Someone told me that. I didn't think that.
It's okay.
Actually, you know, and I don't know if you realize, but we have a lot of history. I mean, I've known you for actually a long time. My kids, because you own Shall We Bounce?
Mm-hmm.
Shall We Bounce?
Shall We Bounce?
And you've owned it in a couple different places.
Yeah. And you've been great customers over the years.
Yep. And I think my son almost broke his arm at your place.
Please don't say that. Can you not? If he didn't break his arm, can you not put that out there?
He did not break his arm.
Thank you.
No, but it's fun. I mean, that's what little kids do. That's the...
You Where, can't, at the old place and the new place?
Yeah, at the old place. The new place is a little more spongy.
Controlled. Yeah. Well, we tried to make it as safe as possible. That was the goal.
Well, and I've always loved, whether it's you guys or any, you know, couple or in this community, you know, we try things and then we just got to keep trying. I mean... You get what you can, and you make the best of it, and you do the work, and then you keep making it better.
Yeah, it was good. The first one, I kind of had wanted to open. It was nagging at me that I needed to be more at the beach for kids indoor. And I had my firstborn, Harper, who's in the same grade as your son, has a ton of energy, and she always needed a lot of exercise, or she acted really just not like herself.
Right.
And I found that we'd go to Chick-fil-A and we would be fighting for tables on a rainy day with my girlfriends. I'm like, this is crazy. This place is a mob scene because there's a tiny little indoor playground.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to try it and we didn't have much money. So we just used all our own money and like maxed out our credit cards and bought some bouncy houses and found a deal through Keith Monagle, let us rent his empty spot, which was like kind of falling apart.
Breaking down by the minute.
I mean, but we just tried it and I didn't know how to run a business at that time at all. I'd done several things, but my most recent thing was teaching. I just got my master's in teaching, but I just wanted it all. I just knew it wasn't the right time to be a teacher. I wanted to have more kids and I wanted to work and raise my kids, which I thought was kind of pie in the sky dreaming, but I'm like, let me just make this happen for myself. So probably a lot of times you saw me there. My kids were there.
No, your whole family was there.
Yeah, we lived there.
It was a family event.
Yeah. But Jim was still working and helping run his family business. So that was like, I really just was figuring out as I went. And I made some mistakes along the way, for sure. And I've just had to, like, learn to run a business by doing it.
Well, and you see that a lot. Like you'll see a person that's in school, and they're like, I mean, a master's degree, that's a lot of school. That's almost like a career.
Oh, yeah, it is. It was a career shifter because I moved back to the beach, and I worked in celebrity brand development for musicians in California. Wow. Like, big, like, turn. I moved here, my friend... Brett Hoy, who was a teacher, she now lives in Kauai. She was like, Julie, you'd be a great teacher. Because I was like, what can I do here? I can work at the outlets. Like, who am I going to work for here? And I didn't want to work in food branding. I didn't, you know, there are some great companies here like Grotto's and Dogfish, but I didn't want to do that.
Right.
I'd worked with people, and I liked working with talent. I liked working with...
And I think there's something about trying to start a small business. Yeah. But what I was going to say is that, you know, a lot of people get into this school career, and then they finish, and they're like, oh, now what do I do? And a lot of, you know, sometimes that decision that's made to go in a certain direction is made at a time in our lives where we're a lot different.
Yeah, you're right.
We're influenced, whether it's by our family or, you know, by our friends or just by the culture to do this, you got to get into this.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing a lot of people right now that are, you know, unhappy doing what they do.
Yeah, and you know, or might not just be right. And you, I mean, first of all, I'm really glad I have my degree in education.
Right.
I feel like I learned a lot, helped me be a better mom, a better business owner, better person. I'm on the school board. I don't know if you knew that.
No. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I'm on the Cape and Lopin school board. And I feel like it really gives me more knowledge to make a better decision. Like I kind of get the community perspective, the business owner, how to run it well, efficiently, budget conscious. But then also I like have a perspective of the teachers and what they're doing in the classroom. So I feel like I'm glad I have it. I still think I want to be a teacher. I really do. I loved it. So I just volunteer a lot. Right now, it's not right in my life, but I just love teaching.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
Well, and I think there's a lot of young men and women out there in this area, especially that are doing the same thing. They want to teach. We don't have a lot of teaching opportunities, unfortunately, here.
It's hard to get in.
Yeah, because the teachers are locked in.
Also, it's really a competitive area to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So everyone, I mean, it's really competitive to get in at CAPE.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So that's why we have such good teachers there.
Right. It's
probably competitive to get in at Indian River. It's hard to get a job. Like, you gotta really have a great interview, all the stars aligned.
I've loved raising my kids here. At the beach in the Cape and Lubbock School District. I mean,
I've loved it.
My older son goes to SAS, and my younger ones go to Rehoboth Elementary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody that's associated with SAS, and they're like, well, why don't you send the little ones to the new elementary part of SAS?
Yeah.
I was like, I really like Rehoboth Elementary. I mean,
the community there is really great.
Absolutely.
Really great.
I love that school. And they've waited this whole time for a new school, so they might as well get to enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. Even though it's kind of a weird time with enjoying it, but
well, and that's, we can talk about that a little bit. You know, that my kids have enjoyed it.
My kids have too.
They didn't think they were. Of course, I'm not sure whether they thought about it. They would have assumed not, or would have chosen not to go.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it is still school, right? I mean, it wasn't a lot, but you know, they weren't having a bad summer. The 6 month summer.
The 6 months.
So, but they're back in school. They're doing a great job over there. The kids are much happier following direction with somebody with authority other than me.
Aren't you glad you're not homeschooling them right now, though? Did you like that?
No.
How did you feel about the yes?
No, because it really made me feel I'm not good at that. I'm not very good at being a teacher.
I think even my friends who are teachers have a hard time teaching their own kids. So you shouldn't take that personally. It doesn't mean you wouldn't be a good teacher. It's just hard when you haven't established. There's something, a relationship between a teacher and a student that's different than a parent.
Well, and I think, you know, I wouldn't want to cut hair at my house. You know, you go to your job.
I love cutting hair at my house.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
I'm not a professional,
But what I'm saying is it's like what I do, so I go there, and it's not so bad. Yeah. But if I had to try to do that and mix it all in with everything else, it'd be tough.
It's tricky, yeah.
It's
what grades are your kids in at Rehoboth? I know fourth grade.
Third and fourth.
Oh, third and fourth.
Yep.
Oh, close together.
Yep. Cool. Teresa's in third, Sam's in fourth.
Nice.
And I just took them, just dropped.
Yep.
I was telling you, today's that Monday morning, you know, we were going to do this. I'm running late. I get the kids there late. It's a whole drop-off drama. You know, if you're there late, there's a huge line.
Of course, yeah.
So we get there early and we throw the football.
You get there really early.
We get there at 8.
Good for you. That's smart, though.
Yeah.
When we first were going back to school, I was like, you know, we can drop them off. So I didn't want to take a bus spot.
Right.
But then I was wasting it because I pick up my little guy, little Vikings, go to Rehoboth. It's about an hour and a half in the car between all the waiting at little Vikings in there. And then I heard our bus was empty, so I like emailed the transportation guy, Rich Krishi. I was like, "Hey, I heard the bus is empty. Can we get in?" And it saved. I have to say, I'm so glad they're on the bus now.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it was quite a time commitment, the drop off and the pickup.
Believe me, I'm.
And we barely make the bus each day. Like we're always kind of hot mess in the morning.
Well, and
we get there, I'm always like, "Yes, we did it."
Well, and that especially seems to magnify on Mondays because, like I said, we were late, and then I dropped them off, and then I couldn't find my phone.
Of course.
And I had planned so well.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I almost didn't want to do Monday morning for that reason, but today went surprisingly well, even though I told you I have my husband's phone. So I have two phones right now. Somehow I
managed. Some more phone drama.
Like, he's at home.
Does he know that he doesn't have a phone?
Oh, yes. He's like really on it, not like me. I always lose my phone and can't find it and I give up.
Well, my fear was I wasn't going to be, I'm like, well, I don't need it. I'll just go. I won't go by the house. I'll just go down there. And they're like,
it's hard to not have your
phone. I better go find it. So
you got it. You have it now?
I have.
Okay, that's good.
Phone ready.
I love not having my phone, but it drives all my people in my life totally crazy. But I'm like, I can't find it. You can't get mad at me. I lost it.
Well, there's new phones coming out. I mean, you're starting to see a trend now. Like even the new Apple phone is going to have it's going to be called the Apple 12 Mini.
Oh, really? Smaller.
Yeah, and they're going back to like the 5 size.
Really?
Which I loved.
Yeah.
I loved that phone.
I have a love-hate relationship with my phones. Like, I really feel like I have adult ADD. And I would never know it except for by how much I lose my phone. Like, it's a laughable thing in my house because I just put it down absentmindedly throughout the day. I never find it. Because, like, I read this questionnaire, like, you know you have ADD if. And it's like, you lose your phone a lot or your keys. And I was like, every box I checked, I was like, oh, gosh.
Sign me up. I definitely think I probably had it as a kid. I mean, I think we can probably hide it better as an adult.
But I feel like when you're creative, and I feel like you're in creative industries, too. You're doing this. You're doing the hair. You're naturally going to be like that a little. Most creative people I know are just a little absent-minded, but it kind of helps you to go into your zone of creating. And
so like I said, we've known each other for a while, but I was looking at Facebook and I saw you on there playing guitar.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, someone plays guitar.
I do. Yeah.
And you sing.
Yeah.
And you're very, very good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm a musician first.
Yeah.
I play a little bit of guitar, but I love music.
What do you play?
I play guitar, little bit, but it was as a teenager. And, you know, we talked about some other things, but what I would find in guitar is that I only like to learn the amount of the song until you recognized it. And then I moved to the next song. You know, I didn't want to learn the middle, and I definitely didn't want to learn the end. I only wanted to learn the part that got me the glory.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So,
like the chorus? You just wanted to learn, like, the chorus? So.
You know, like, I always used I don't know if you ever remember the song. There's a band called Judas Priest, but they had a song called Breaking the Law.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, you played electric?
Yeah, I played electric.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I was
sense.
Metal. I was, I had long hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you'd be like, hey, that's Breaking the Law. I'd be like, next song. So that was my whole.
Well, right now I'm trying to learn more covers because I'm a songwriter.
Okay.
I love songwriting. And I love to write my own music. And then I was over at my parents' house. My family was in town because my Uncle Charlie, who's 65, 64, just got married to his college sweetheart.
Wow.
They rekindled. It's like a beautiful story. And they got married at my parents' beach house outside. And so my family, my cousins are in town. And I brought my guitar over and I played one of my original songs. And then my mom's like, hey, Julie, what can you play that we can sing along to? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst. You have to have songs for people to sing along to because the guitar is a communal thing. It's a fun, like.
Right.
So then I was like, all right, my next thing, I'm going to learn cover songs. And it's really fun because sometimes I find them annoying. Like, I'm like, I like doing my own stuff, but you can take a cover song. And once I work on it enough, it starts becoming mine a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's what I just did, a Country Roads cover.
Maybe 8675309.
Yeah.
That's a sing along.
8675309.
Yeah, we can do that, I think. Look at me all muscling in on your song.
Yeah, tell me what to do.
Yeah, telling you what to do.
I almost put it out there. I'm like, what should I do next? But then I'm like, nah, I might be annoyed by what people say.
Well, there is and we're kind of going through a weird time. I mean, Facebook has now announced that they're, because when this whole COVID thing, you know, we saw a real change in how people were kind of living and using Facebook or Zoom or, you know, Zencast or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden we see a lot of people performing on Facebook Live, which is really cool.
It is really cool.
But now Facebook has announced that they will no longer allow people to do that.
Because they want to monetize it more? You have to pay for it?
Well, there's copyright restrictions. I didn't even know that.
Oh,
If you go and play, let's say you go and play at Lefty's. And you're an artist.
Yeah.
And you're just a local artist and you play covers.
Yeah.
In reality, you're supposed to pay for that.
But that, true.
I don't know anything about
it. It's called licensing. That's what I used to do, celebrity licensing and music licensing.
Well, somebody told me that. They said, literally, you are supposed to pay for that. Not everybody does.
We pay for our music at Shall We Bounce. We are part of the Songwriters Guild. We have to pay, like, ASCAP, I think, ASCAP. So we have to pay for all of our music being played there because we're making money in our establishment and we're playing people's music. For the old Shelly Bounce, we played, not Spotify, Pandora. And I think the old place, we're so under the radar. You know,
so,
but this new place, we have to pay.
So what music are you playing that you're having to pay for?
We have this service. You know, if you come in our place, we have that big screen that plays music videos.
Yes.
And then it also does our, like, orange wrist bracelets. Your time is up. I don't know what the service is called, but we get to pick. There's like a million radio stations we pick. Right now I've been playing hits 13 and up. So it's hard to find kid friendly because sometimes if you go family, it's like Disney tunes, but teenagers do not want Disney playing in there. So you can do anything. You can play 80s, 90s, rap. You can do more, whatever you want.
Or is it like Kids Bop?
We can put on Kids Bop, but that's not going to.
Have you ever been in the car and like the Kids Bop comes on because of your kids and then you're like, Just leave it.
It's good. I used to work at Kids Cottage back in the day. I was a teacher there. And they played Kids Bop around the clock. I loved it.
Yeah,
jamming out the Kids Bop.
Yeah, it's good. It's like kids doing Metallica. It's great. Well, so I love the guitar playing, and we can talk about that. But I didn't know. So you told me that this I didn't know. So Shall We Bounce is open.
Yeah. We've been open since June 26th.
June 26th.
Yeah. We bought some bouncy houses and we put them outside. I think that confused some people because they thought maybe that's all we had open, I don't know. We've talked about, we have like a little ratty open flag that's been beaten by one of the storms that we need to like maybe fix. But yeah, we're open, like totally open.
Are you nervous about I know for me, like we closed down and then we were allowed to open and I'm like, ugh. You know,
we needed to open.
Yeah.
We needed to open. And I felt like we were so slow in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I felt safer there than I felt anywhere else in town. I mean, we live right by Rehoboth. We're on the other side of the highway in Rehoboth. And it was crowded. Grocery store crowded. Grocery store would give me a panic. All the touching.
Yeah.
In the proximity. I mean, I had a lot of COVID fear when just going to the grocery store. We'd like, it was just crazy. Because there was so much unknown still, like in March and April, May. Right. So by the time June came around, the beach had already been open. Bars were open before us. Right. So bars in Dewey were open before us. Life is going on as normal. We were just counting on, let us open. Let us show you how safe we can be. So when we got to open, we were so slow that I had, most people came up to me and said, I feel so safe. You're doing a great job. I'm going to come back. You can easily socially distance. I mean, we're a 30,000 square foot facility.
Right.
We had, my husband's a real techie, nerdy into stuff. So he bought, in the beginning of the pandemic, a commercial ozone generator that just like zaps the place.
Okay.
Zaps every surface area germ. So we run that every night. And we have like the plexiglass by the registers. We have 30% capacity. So I know I'm sure you've come to my place before when it's been really busy.
Oh, sure.
It's not busy. It's not busy. Even in the busiest day we had was, we're at 30% capacity, which is around like 206 people, 205. We've not even gotten to that.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had one Sunday that was rainy in August that we started. We're like, I think we should count. This is feeling a little crowded. And it was at 155 at the highest point when I was there. But we were counting it. We have like a counter. But then with our place, you come in an hour later, half the people are gone because their bracelet time is up.
Right.
And that was, and honestly, it was the first time that I wasn't annoyed with that capacity limit because I was like, this is the max of what I feel comfortable. So I'm happier having it. Like this winter, unless things change, you won't come to my place on a Saturday and have it be a mob scene.
Right.
It won't be, which I think is better for the customer experience.
Can you make reservations to come there?
You can, but you don't need to.
Okay.
People call it all summer and ask that. You can. There's some way on our website to buy your bounce time early, but you don't need to.
I mean, listen, we're going into bounce season.
You're right. So maybe you will need to. I'll be back on the podcast.
Summer is, I always say it's like the time to be outside doing stuff, but we start, it's cooling
tourists.
Off.
So I don't see a lot of my local customers in the summer, but I see a lot of tourists.
Okay.
So rainy days in the summer are busy for us.
Right.
So that was it's like Saturday, busier than Saturday.
Right.
But it's busier than a winter Saturday.
Well, good.
So I don't know. I'll put out, if we do need to do that, we'll put it out there. We'll communicate that. But I, as of now, no.
Still doing not all. All. Still doing the birthday parties?
Yeah, less.
Less birthday parties.
Yeah, and probably if we start picking it more in the winter, we'll really cut that down because the birthday parties are what make it feel busier. Mm. And it makes my staff a lot busier when there's birthdays because it takes them doing that. So that's when we start feeling a little squeezed. So it'll just be probably a better customer experience in the winter.
I felt like we were kind of coming through it. I felt like we were kind of coming through it, right? This whole kind of stuff went down with the president this weekend. I mean,
I think we're coming through it. I can tell it's been getting better.
Well, the thing that was amazing about the thing this weekend is when that happened and the president announced he had the COVID, I was like, God, I feel he got the COVID.
The COVID.
When he got the COVID-19 or whatever.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I was like, and I did a podcast and I was like, listen, I just want to say, I hope my thoughts and prayers are with that guy.
It's
annoying or whatever it is. He's a human, right?
And that's the right way to be because you don't want that. You never want to wish ill on anyone. Even if you don't agree with them.
No.
You never want to put that. That's not good.
But when I found out the week that he had and this whole thing, I was like, first of all, what I realized is the social distancing and the mask are helping. Because they didn't, they weren't, and then they got it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, if it just takes like a one small group to not kind of
do that,
to do
and
that.
Boom, it's and spread.
Then, yeah. So yeah. I was a little frustrated.
Yeah. I think it's good for people that maybe didn't believe in mask wearing to kind of be like, all right, maybe we should. I believe in mask wearing. I think that's why we've been able to be open.
Right.
And that's why my kids went to, because Jim and I worked all summer. So our kids went to camps and they wore masks and they didn't get COVID. And like, we haven't, knock on wood, no one has gotten COVID at my business.
I haven't even
smart.
Had a cold.
Yeah. I know.
I haven't even had a sniffle.
I know.
I mean, it's been like a long time since I've even, and I don't really get sick that much, but I mean, I haven't, nothing.
Been healthier. Yeah. I know. It's like. Are we going to take this when COVID is gone? Hopefully, or I guess it'll never be gone, but like when things are different and better again, will mask wearing become like, are we all going to, like during flu season? Like, I kind of feel like during flu season, kids maybe should wear a mask.
Why not?
In bids, I don't know.
Well, and there's also, and I'm all for it, but it also creates a little anxiety and fear. And I also don't want to live like that either. So, you know, one day at a time, we're getting through it.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just, I'm glad that you're open because
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And especially because I've known you guys so long that, you know, I'm like, oh my God, this is the wrong time to have this kind of go on when you're kind of having this business. So I appreciate that you guys are being open and figuring it out, making it happen.
Yeah. We've had to adapt.
Yep.
We've had to downsize.
Yep.
I mean, at one point I had a staff of 55 in the summer. And now I have a staff of 13, maybe kind of 12. Jim and I work a lot more, and we've kind of taken over. We had some things that were luxuries, like a marketing person and a bookkeeper. We don't have them anymore, but we can do all that. Like, Jim and I luckily love to work, and we love our business. Like, sometimes we argue about who gets to go in the summer and who had to be with the kids.
Well, my time to go in. Sorry.
I just love it. It always makes me feel good. I love my staff. It's just a positive place. So So thank you. And I think we're going to be the better for it.
Yep.
I think when we come out of it and a deeper sense of appreciation.
Maybe a more healthy, a little more healthy business.
Yeah. A little cleaner. Maybe like a little bit. Yeah. The place has never been cleaner. We've gotten the floors redone right the week before COVID. So it like just looks better. And we just have some cleaner practices in. And we're just now Jim and I are there all the time to really make sure it's clean. Like it's nothing like a mom set eyes on the business. Oh, you know, there's a whole different thing than when my teenagers and college kids are, and they do great, but they might not look at a bathroom the way I look at a bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I always say you can do an amazing haircut, have an amazing salon, and if your bathroom sucks, that's all you can remember.
It's so true. It's like with anything.
Especially
the restaurant, with bathrooms are a big deal. Yeah. You're right.
The beautiful restaurant, your bathroom's disgusting. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes sense. How's your salon doing? Good?
My salon's doing just fine.
That's awesome.
And I was telling my kids this last night, I go, you guys don't have any clue about what's this, you know, the country and the world's going through, because we live in a little bit of a bubble here in the beach.
Yeah, we do.
And my salon, I have only had just this little salon. It's just me and a couple people. And we were closed 6 weeks. And luckily, since we were small, we could reopen and kind of really, you know, keep the bathrooms and everything nice and clean.
Yeah.
And we've been all right. I got nailed once for not having my mask.
Yeah.
And I had it. I just had it down. And, you know, I think there was this period where kind of people were like, oh, I'm over it. Yeah. And so my client didn't have their mask on. Another person's client didn't have their mask on. And another hairdresser's client went on Facebook and... and tried to shut down my business, but you know, and listen, she was right.
Yeah,
I didn't appreciate the technique or the route that she went. I felt like she could have, she could have sat there and said, she stood right next to me for the whole time. But I said, listen, crow's best eaten warm, and I will take this one on the chin. And you got me, and I will try to do better. Yeah. I wanted to say something else.
Yeah, no, but you can't.
You can't.
No, we had a similar situation. I was out, I've been in like on a Friday 9 to 12. I left and my manager came in without a mask on.
Mm.
She had, her grandfather was dying. She'd been outside in the parking lot crying. She's like so good. So I was like, I can't believe it's her that she came in emotional, didn't have a mask for like a second. And I guess apparently my employee DJ had been like, mask, mask, mask. So she, and I have free masks up at the rest for customers, for everybody. Put a mask on, probably a couple minutes. Someone took a picture of her, put it on Facebook, said, this place is not doing well. This is not good. I see other customers coming off the bounce thing without it. So I reached out to her. So I got to the bottom of the situation. Because first of all, I'm like, what in the world? I was just there and I just left. You know, that's hard. And then I got to the bottom of it and my manager was so apologetic. I'm like, look, you have to come in with a mask on. She's like, I know, I slipped up. I knew, I saw her take a picture of me. I knew it was bad. And then I reached out to this woman and I was like, hey, I just want you to know this isn't us. This is what we're doing. And this is, my husband and I are pretty much constantly supervising this. We were not there that moment, but I promise I have great staff. Like they're really trying hard. And I just say sometimes we have issues with our customers, reminding them to put their mask on.
Yep.
And sometimes they're grumpy, but we have to tell them. And it's easier maybe for me and my husband, who are almost 40, he's now 40, than my 16-year-old girl who has to tell. It's usually, I hate to call the men, it's usually the guys like 40 to 55, they're annoyed. And they might have it, but they don't put it on.
Wearing the masks?
Yeah. They're the worst culprit.
Yep.
And their kids are wearing it. Their wife is wearing it. And they're standing there. And they're usually, I have to say, it's usually the most unhealthy person in the place that needs the mask the most.
That's right.
It's usually, sorry, anyone listening out there, it's usually my most overweight, unhealthy, heaving and hawing from bouncing. And I'm like, you got to put your mask on. And they do it for me. But I think it's intimidating sometimes when my customers, my college and high school kids have to say I'm over and over again. I'm like, look, guys, get back up. They don't listen. Come get me. Come get Jim. Come get so-and-so. Get back up and just be nice about it. Be firm. And then they usually always put their mask on. But anyway, I reached out to this woman and I was frantic. So I'm like, oh my God, we need every customer. We can't lose business right now. We're barely holding on by a thread. It was like July, which was brutal for us because we'd open right when the Dewey COVID hit.
Oh, right.
So it's like, any confidence people might have had in trying to come out and feeling safe was just eliminated. They're like, no, shelter back to not going to be vulnerable and go out there. And then she was so nice. She was like, you know, I can just tell by you reaching out to me that you're trying hard and you care. And I know, but your business has probably been really hurt by this. So, and she took it down and she was like, gave us a nice review. I was like, oh, happy ending. But it was like shocking when you see that post and it's like, no, this is not us. I promise.
Well,
that one moment.
And I think that we have to, I think we all, we all know that this is a tough time. I mean, we all know that we're trying to do the best we can.
Most people are. Some people are not. But I think business owners are, right? You have to.
I mean, people that are visiting the town, walking around in Rehoboth with their masks down, no, they're not doing the best they can. If you own a small business in this town, you're doing the best you can.
You're still open.
If you're still open.
If you haven't closed down.
Right.
And that's what we have to support the businesses we love.
Absolutely.
Because I always felt, I didn't realize how kind of risky, like being an entrepreneur, there's high reward, high risk. We'd experienced the high reward, really. Business was doing great for 3 years. And then the high risk hit in. And a lot of people that I knew that are in the similar situation were really poor me. I'm like, well, you know, guys, we're kind of in this. Like, look at our lives. Like, there's a lot of benefit we have. Like, we get to work for ourselves. We get to create our own hours. We get to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of positive to it. But the risk is, you don't have that job stability. There's no job stability. You're totally dependent on the market. And now the government, which was eye-opening to me. I never thought in a million years the government would shut us down.
Right.
You know, that's never when you open a business, you think, oh, I might not succeed because the government's going to not let us open. You think, like, you have to, you know, provide a good service, make it customer friendly, all the things. So it was definitely a big learning curve there.
Well, and there was when they first initially started, I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure what this is going to look like. I mean, I was like, we'll get through this. And I remember we went to the grocery store one day and there was like nothing.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get peanut butter. I was like,
oh yeah.
I felt a little stressed out. That was a little sketchy when that one happened.
I kind of had like for a couple years, like an obsession with like, I don't know what not end of days, but kind of like having to go into that survival mode.
Yeah.
And I've gotten over that. But I have a garden for a while. I was like, Jim, what are we going to do? If we can't get any, there are no resources, what are we going to do? And it was like that. Well, for me, I was also thinking, all right, what's our plan B?
Right.
Who knows if anyone's ever going to come back to Shall We Bounce?
Right.
Really? Like, who knows? What are we going to do? We've been, honestly, it's been going better than I could have expected. It's not like, I'm just really grateful to people who are coming out. Grateful.
And I like how you've adjusted. You know, you got rid of the marketing person. You got rid of the account.
Downsized.
Yeah.
Saved every dollar where we could.
To you before, and I'll say it again. I felt like this has always kind of been this kind of this gluttonous kind of disease. Like anything, mm-hmm. you know, what's a perfect world for me? You know, five hairdressers, me don't work. Yeah. I just stay home and people, and I just make money. Well, those days aren't happening.
And they're not rewarding.
I'm
happier now than I was before.
Right.
And I have less.
It's a bit of a reset.
And I'm happier. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, I had to really reevaluate over COVID. I'm like, once I got over the panic of the business being closed, I'm like, I'm really happy.
Yep.
I'm home every night cooking dinner. My husband and I we would do it like a date night every night. We'd feed the kids and then I'd set up, we have an office, but a table in our office. I'd set up like a candlelit dinner for us every night. We'd have and the kids would play all day outside. Once they finish their schoolwork, they'd bike around and play outside. I'm like, this is simple.
Right.
And I started playing my guitar again.
Yeah.
So in my 20s, kind of circling back, I played music. I wanted to be a famous singer-songwriter. I lived in California. I would play anywhere that would have me. I would play in LA. I'd play in the Sunset Strip. I would play in San Diego. I played coffee shops, restaurants. I was constantly working hard on it. And then I moved back here.
That's awesome.
It was so fun. It was really hard. There's it's not all glamorous at all, which you can probably, that, and you can imagine. But I'd really gotten away from that side of myself, you know, and over COVID, I had the time. And I was like, all right, I forgot how much I missed and love this.
Well, I've always said that I always feel like that you're not living unless you're suffering. Well,
and write the best music when you're suffering a little.
Well, and people that, you know, the word suffering has kind of like a pre-existing condition. People automatically think that that's, you know.
You're alive when you're feeling everything.
Yeah, I was saying that everything that is good isn't always good. And everything is bad is not always bad.
I agree with you.
And this
I
has
do.
Been a real, it's made us all suffer.
Yeah.
Whether we're physically or in fear or looking to the future and worrying about them, but we're all suffering.
Yeah.
So it's taken us all out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
We've had to get more creative. I love, you know, like this, I didn't even know they were doing this. And I got to take my hat off to these guys over at Sodell. I mean, they're doing these, I guess if you pick, you do pick up and take it home and then you go online and then you can sit and the chef will sit there and he's done like this, a pre-recorded video where he talks about the food that was made, the wine that was paired with it. I'm like,
that's brilliant.
They
did a good job over, we got takeout from them. Some restaurants really stepped it up and were able to make food ordering online accessible. And they were one of them.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
Well,
yeah.
And I don't think they were thinking about doing that 2 years ago.
But now is it the better for it?
Now they've become a better... I can't speak whether they've become better or anything. I know that I just appreciate that they've done something.
Yeah, that you have to.
Right.
So it's sink or swim, right? You could either get business over quarantine, try to make some money, or you could just not do anything and suffer and not... to try to evolve.
See, I think getting busy and figuring out a new plan is suffering. That's like, oh my God. That's what creates
But it pushes
the
you, and it's good. You're right.
If you don't do anything, you've created a character.
Yeah. And that's all I wanted when we were closed, is for us to have the same chance as everyone else to show that you can come have exercise and fun safely.
Yep.
That's what I wanted. And I felt like, give us a shot to show you. And luckily, we were supposed to be with phase 3, and luckily we got special permission, you know, but... and then all the trampoline parks were able to open and some kid things were able to open, but let's not keep punishing the kids here. Like a lot of things are open, but none of the kids stuff is open. Like open up, let the kids get out there in a safe way. Mask
Absolutely.
Wearing, social distance, let them have some life too. Well, just the grownups.
And I don't know about you, but for me, this has really made me feel like I'm not as good of a parent.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Oh my God. I mean, with the schooling and then
Don't judge yourself on that. That's not fair.
Well, but I've been working hard at these little monsters for years now. And then all of a sudden this summer.
You have great kids.
I know. But I'm just saying that, you know, this summer, like I didn't really have anything for them to do. There wasn't a lot to do.
Well, there wasn't. Like we usually always go to the library. That's my thing. We go to the library once or twice a week. I love to read. I love the library. They were closed.
Right.
My kids did not read as much this summer because I'd already done so much reading in March, April, May, because it was still with school, that I slacked. Normally every summer, and I have my kids read a half an hour every day all summer. I keep it going. This summer, forget it.
Right.
Forget it. I'm like, Harper says, and she's my firstborn. She's really studious. She's like, oh my gosh, mom, I haven't been reading like 3 weeks before school. I better start reading. And then still, nope, keep going by. Okay, week before school, I better start reading. Oh my gosh.
Well, like, you know, you're a great mom. I know I'm a great dad, but when I like, that's the same
thing. It's hard to know that deeply though, right? Aren't we always hard on ourselves? It's like, how do we judge a great mom? How do we judge a great dad? It's hard.
Well,
it's hard to know.
Exactly.
Straightforward definition.
And that's why I have felt like a little less of a good parent this summer. And I was so thankful that school started because I'm like, I could barely get these kids on a Zoom call, much less.
No. Oh,
setting,
but you shouldn't judge your quality of being a good dad by Zoom calls because they are terrible.
Right.
Come on. Kids are not supposed to be on Zoom calls, sitting, looking at a screen. First of all, let me reword that. Any extra Zoom calls. They already did enough Zoom calls. They're Zoomed out. Zoom can be exciting and great and fun in smaller doses or to get through your school day. But then after they've done that, they don't need to do extra Zoom. It's hard. And the younger ones, it's hard. My little guy, we did nothing over quarantine. He couldn't do the Zoom. He couldn't get the etiquette of it. He would just make funny faces or do crazy stuff and couldn't pay attention. Yeah, he just.
Make faces.
Yeah.
Well, how old's your oldest?
She's 9, but she's. I don't know if you've seen her while. She's so tall. She looks like she's 13, 12.
Well, the biggest challenge for me was my 15-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
But he's 15.
Yeah. I heard it was harder for the high school kids, even the highly motivated kids, to stay motivated.
Well, I would be like, are you going to get out of your bed today? It was dude, summer wasn't so bad. This was March.
Yeah.
April. May. Ew. That was so brutal. Aww. And I had no alternative, nothing for him to do. He doesn't, we forever, the kids have always come to the salon and played here or done stuff. But he's like, I don't want to go to the salon.
Yeah.
So it was just a tough.
It was tough. I could see that. I can't relate to that because my kids are younger still. So I can still be like, go ride your bike.
Right.
Outside. Everyone, devices off.
Right.
Shut it down. And then Harper will still play. Sometimes she's not my oldest. She'll sometimes act a little older and be too cool for that. But then once she's bored, she'll be playing with her siblings and the neighborhood kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Thank God for the kids. Cause thank I God. Can't imagine kind of going through this. And some people have, I know, but if it wasn't for those kids of mine, I would probably be in the loony bin.
You're right. Cause I had friends who were just so bored or people I followed on social media who were so bored. I'm like, it's not boring with kids.
Right.
Phew. It's not.
So we've come through. We're coming into the bounce season.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you getting excited?
Ready. Let's do this. So, it's not here yet, though. Don't get ahead of yourself.
No.
The true bounce season starts in January.
Well, the reason I ask because I love my job. I have my own business, but, 6 weeks of not working, and then I'm like, oh. So it's been, I'm still trying to get the gears turning.
Each month has gotten better as far as how much we're down.
Right.
I feel like some other good things that came out of it, I have really great staff. Love my staff. They're all really good. And I feel like I had to relearn how to do things again. I was soft as butter. I had this wonderful person working for me for years that kind of did all my admin, all the marketing, anything I ever asked for her to do, she did. And she's not working for me anymore. And I have had to I'm glad it's been slow because I'm like, oh, yeah, this is how I do this. This is how I do this. This is how I do this. So I'm kind of getting my feet wet. So if you'd thrown me right into January normal, it might have been a little overwhelming. So I feel like it's kind of good for all of our staff to we lost a couple people. We lost a lot of people. So we just kind of have to readjust.
Yeah.
So no, but really true bounce season. We kind of start getting a little busier in November, but everyone's busy. October, Halloween, slow month. Then November, kind of gearing up, getting worse weather. But then we have Thanksgiving. Kind of distracts people.
Yeah.
And then Christmas, December is surprisingly not that busy because everyone's shopping on the weekends and busy. But then once school is out, about December 28th, 7th, then we get really busy.
So what is all the, I guess you just can't wear a mask.
Just wear a mask. Yeah, wear a mask. Yeah,
a lot of sanitizer and stuff around.
Yeah, sanitizer everywhere.
Nice.
We're constantly cleaning the surfaces, social distance, But I feel like the people who are coming in seem like they're having a great time.
Yeah.
And they feel comfortable and they leave with their
masks. Of course, that
and
place is awesome.
Thank you.
If I didn't have a bad back, I'd go in there. I'm like,
don't hurt yourself.
My wife's like, you are not going in there. Come here, sit down, have a Slurpee.
But it's also nice to chill while your kids are having fun. Like, go find that massage chair up top, watch a TV.
Well, I think you guys have done a great job. You always do a nice job.
I appreciate
over there.
That. Thank you.
I just saw that, and I forget, I almost wonder if the name had something to do with it. There was that place that was down from Go Brit. The Stemporium.
Oh, are they? I hope they're still open, right?
No, they just closed. Well, they just announced they're closing.
Oh, that's so brutal. I was thinking about them last week. Ooh, that I should reach out to her and see how I could help them.
I had gone by there twice. I asked her if she would come on the podcast. I think they were just, I walked in there the first time I saw them, their eyes were just wide open. And I went in and saw them again, and you could tell
that kills me for them.
And it was such a great idea.
It was a great idea.
I think that location was bad.
It's not a great location.
It's not a great location.
Okay, actually, I don't want to put that out there because we go to that Go Brit place all the time.
Yeah, it's and on my the husband front right just by went, the road.
Yeah, yeah, true. We actually looked in there for Shelly Bounce. We were going to take like the last three. We looked everywhere for the new Shelly Bounce, but we needed massive space. So luckily, we like where we are.
Well, I'm sad because they had such a great idea, and I felt like that was one of these businesses that was kind of pushing the envelope of new kind of ideas, new kind of things.
So cool. So and good. But she spent a lot of money. Or I say she. It might be a husband, too. They spent a lot of money on like what they did to that place.
I know.
They put a lot of money, which, you know, if you understand, you know.
Yep.
You got to look at all that. And then the timing was just rough for them. And I read a lot, like with the federal funding and the state funding that they've been giving to small businesses. Right. If you're a new business, you don't get it.
You didn't have any established.
Which, I know she did open last year, but I wonder how much they were able. Because there's more funding coming now. There's a Delaware relief grant coming right now. Which I know a lot of, in the payroll one was really good, but if you don't have a big staff.
No. Well, I did get the PPP money, but I was the only employee.
Yeah, we don't play ourselves as employees. So we did get the money. We got money, but it was just complicated.
Right. Exactly. It's complicated. I don't even want to talk about it. It's so complicated.
It is complicated.
Well, I've talked about this with other people, and it's like at the time, like, oh my God, what are we doing? We come through it and we're like, oh, okay.
Well, okay, I know about these forms. A lot of my friends are business owners, small business owners, they're in family businesses. I find like a lot of, there's like I don't want to say old school because that can have a bad word, but in Rehoboth, there's a lot of mom and pops that have been in the generations. And just talking, it's a real camaraderie and bond.
Yeah.
Going through this struggle together and having friends that can relate. And then also, what do we talk about? The newest form. Tell us, like, what do you got to do? Make sure you do this. It's like we're all in this together. So it is very bonding.
Well, there's my friends from Delmade. Have you seen their... This is a Delmade shirt.
Oh, I like that. I've never heard of them. I like that,
though. They're so cool. And I love because, you know, I moved here from San Diego. I lived out in California. I grew up in Albuquerque.
Oh,
but when
cool.
I came to Delaware... You know, and I talked a little bit, you know, I got sober.
Yeah.
I changed my whole lifestyle. I became...
Oh, so when you moved here, you got sober.
Yeah, I moved here in 94. I got sober in 97.
Did it help leaving your old crew of buddies to come here? Like, was that like about more bad influences out there for your temptation?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. My dad said, listen, you can come with us to Delaware or you can stay here. But if you stay here, you're on your own. I said, I'm coming to Delaware. Bye. And it was... But the point of the story was, is that this town, this state kind of remade me.
Aww.
And
I love that
Delmade because, you know, when you came here, but now it's about other small businesses. We focus, you know, we did a big group of podcasts on cooperation over competition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you would think maybe even 15 years ago, it'd be like, you know, screw them. That's our competition. Where now it's like,
no,
send them a fruit basket. What can we do to help? You know, Matt, I talked to you, I mentioned Matt. You know, Matt was the guy, you know, if you had a problem.
Matt Healy.
Yeah, you would call him and he would show up with a group of people like, and usually probably more in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
In that field. I don't think he would, we do? What can we do, Julie? What can we do to help your bounce business?
No, but
he would show up and,
be there for you.
Yeah, and always be there for you. And I could find hundreds of stories about him showing up and helping. And that's kind of why I started this podcast. But it's not a California world anymore. It's a Delaware, Rehoboth.
Yeah, Sussex and I feel County like when we opened the first Shelly Bounce, and we were real mom and pop, you know, And
fans are blowing.
The local business community supported us. Like my friend Rachel Webster, who had the kite and toy and kite stores.
Love Rachel.
She was my number one cheerleader. Or like the marketing guy at the Victorian Hotel. He was like, I'm going to get people in here. And I just, the support, because we were in the Forgotten Mile. Mm-hmm. And we were back in that shopping center, totally off the beaten path. And we received so much love and support. No competition. I never felt that way. And even now, at the new place, I feel camaraderie. I don't feel competition with anyone. I want Lefties to succeed. I want Midway, the movies, the Derrickson spot. I want to succeed. Like, what does Jim say? Like, all ships rise in high tide.
That's
like,
right.
You don't, and that, my mother-in-law actually taught me that. She's like, you don't need to worry about competition. You should never be that way. Do the best you can and wish well for everyone else. And I thought that was great advice because they'd been around since 1980 and there'd been businesses come and go, like, you know, and they just kept doing their thing as best as they could. And Jim and I are just like that. We live here. We like to go to Lefties. We like to go to the movies. We like to go to everywhere. I want to go to Stemporium. I love right. that. I coach my kids' OM team and we went there for this fun event. I was just like, this is the coolest place. I just hope they can make it.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, you gotta,
it's tough.
It's tough.
And they're pushing, you know, they're coming out of the, they're coming out of line with the rest of the Ducks. They're trying something different.
I know. And applaud them. And I know it's gotta be really hard.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, sometimes like, in, you know, like back when I was in California, man, maybe my life was a little different. Maybe I wasn't the greatest part of a community. And so when I came out here to Delaware and got sober and changed, you know, my life and got involved in small business, sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm still that guy in California. Like I'm just like this, oh, I'm still not this great guy. But I forget that, you know, we get up every day, we work hard, we care. And people are like, you know, I don't know, but you have a 5-star rating on Google for your salon. I'm like, all right, I forgot. Thank you. You know,
do you mean because you've been doing it for so long, your own thing, you kind of feel not, you don't realize how interconnected you are with the local business community kind of comfortable? What are you saying?
I think sometimes I just feel like I can't shake my teenage days, my teenage years. Like I'm still
Do
that.
You ever? Like I still am such a dreamer and I feel like, I still struggle with like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing?
I'm living and I'm suffering.
I have to work on presence a lot. Like yeah. I have to be like, this is great now. Cause I'm a real thinker ahead. Like I'm always like, what's next? This I get way ahead of myself, but I'm really working. Being like, this is good now. Doing this in the future is not going to make it better. This is good now.
Well, but what I have to remind myself if you that. Have a 1 foot in the future yeah. and 1 foot in the past.
Yeah.
It means you're pissing on the present.
Exactly.
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 Well, do you ever find that like, and I, you know, especially with young kids, we find it a lot now with, you know, young teenagers is, you know, a lot of people struggle with anxiety.
Oh, like everyone.
And, you know, my son, Sam, he gets a little freaked out and I say, you
so
know.
So does Harper. Yeah.
So we pray about it.
Oh, that's nice.
And it isn't really about the religion or anything. It's the humility.
Yeah, and makes you still yourself and believe in something bigger than you.
Well, and we say that our shoulders aren't big enough to carry all this.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And my question to you is, do you find your shoulders aren't big enough to carry all this when you're too far into the future or the past? I mean, does it become, because it's a better reason to stay in the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've always been drawn to religion I have a really strong spiritual side to myself, and that helps me a lot when I think I'm the conductor of my own life and I'm, again, trying to do so much in the future. I'm a real future forward thinker, and I just, sometimes it's like, it's too much for me and I can't figure it out. I need to give it up to the universe, to God, whatever you want to call it. You're going to figure it out and you're going to figure it out better than I would, but I'm just going to keep on doing my thing.
It starts to become too much self.
Yeah.
When we live in that life of self,
yeah.
It's miserable.
It is. It's just me, 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 yeah.
What? I, you know, I don't know if you ever knew my mom, but my mom, she's in a home now. We had to
I'm
put
sorry.
Her in a home. No, it's all right. And, but my dad is like, you know, it's all new for him. And he's like, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. And I go, no, you get to.
You get to do this. Yeah.
You know, you've gone your whole life saving money for retirement or whatever retirement's going to look like. And this is what retirement looks like. You know, you have to, or we get to see, I even do it. We get to help mom, you know, we get to, you know, you put the money, enough money aside for
That's
this.
That's a positive way to look at
you
it.
You get to do this. If you have to do it, it's a miserable existence.
Yeah.
But you get to do this. And it's really
That's
just,
a good
it's,
point.
It's,
I like that.
It's an effort. It's a, to change our thinking. It's an effort we have to put in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good stuff. It happens to us right around this age, I think.
Yeah, I know. I used to be really involved at Epworth singing, and then I stepped back and we kind of church hopped. And
I remember we used to go to Epworth.
Yeah, and I like felt like I couldn't find anywhere that really fit me, and I'm kind of different, and like, you know, I couldn't find the right spot. And then I was sitting with my girlfriends on the porch like a month or two ago, and I was like, you know, Epworth is my home. That's where my church family is, and nowhere's going to be perfect, but I know I feel good when I'm there. So I've started singing there again, and I'm like, where, what? So it's virtual right now, but the praise team gets to go there and sing socially distanced. I'm like, what? And there's a new husband and wife pastor who are amazing. Love them. So positive.
I want to get back to church.
It is good vibes. It is really good. I mean, I was like emotional. I can tell it's a good church service when I'm emotional, like, and I don't really know exactly why, but I'm like moved and I'm crying a little bit through the sermon. And that's been a long time for me like that. Epworth used to be like that for me, and it kind of gotten away from that. And I went on Sunday and I was like, trying not to cry. I'm glad I have my mask on.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because to me, that's the great example of what church is about.
Yeah.
It's that you take the time out of your day that you'd rather be, whether it's, you know, getting ready to watch football or whatever it is you want to do. And, you know, back in the day, we had to go to church.
Yeah.
It was like, ugh.
Yeah, and you went. Yeah.
But it was absolutely the opposite of what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I always feel like when you're doing something that you don't want to do, that you have to do, it starts to become, has some humility in it. And that's, I'll go to church and I'm the same way. I'm like, oh my God. Start crying. I'm like, what's the matter with you? Yeah. And it's humility is what it is.
And it's bigger than yourself.
It's a break from self.
Yeah, it really is so good. And like everyone's always so nice. Like the community of church is really important. It doesn't have to be church, because I know, I think to see some higher, bigger than you, whether you believe in spirit or in the universal law or whatever, you need to make communion with people that's for the higher good.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. And everyone's so nice to me there. My gosh. And I was thinking back, like, when was I my happiest? And it was when I was singing there and I was really involved there and I was a young mom. I was so busy, I couldn't even deal with it, but I was so grounded in that. So I was like, let me, all this other fluff, get back to the simple things that really made me feel good.
No, so, I agree. Well, and it's, and I think the feeling good is a byproduct of it. I don't think we do it for the feeling good. It just happens to show up.
Selfless, communal, like, and like you're sober, the AA, because I listen to Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert, and I hear so much about his AA stuff about, okay, if you're struggling with depression, do these things first. Make sure, have you exercised? Have you done a selfless deed? Have you done something for someone else? It's hard to be depressed when you're doing something for someone else. I'm like, that's really cool, because you're right. Whenever I am serving in some way, I feel good.
Well, and that's the end, and that is the end of all, whether it's AA, NA, any 12-step overeaters. At the end, it says, now, having finished these 12 whatever steps that you did, your job now is to be there for the next person. Mm-hmm. You can't leave. You still have to show up, because if you're not there and a person just like you shows up and no one's there, they can't
have a struggle. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I know. I was like,
well, we could do it. Listen, and I know you need to be out of here, so we won't.
I know. I feel like we could talk. We could talk forever. We already had some good combos before it even started.
I didn't even.
We were getting deep right away.
I haven't even talked to you about running. You know,
running.
Yeah, the ultimate suffering.
Oh.
Well, and there's. I mean, that's been my opening to a relationship with a spiritual higher power.
Yeah,
is running.
I love running. I don't do it, but I love it.
I love it.
Well, I started running last summer and it hurt my back. And my back kind of like tightened up me. And I went to the chiropractor. She said, oh, your pelvis is out of alignment from childbirth. So yeah, your muscles all. Anyway, I couldn't like sit for 3 months. So I was like, I don't think I should run. I'm scared of running. But I love the runner's high is amazing.
Well, there's a bridge. And I take pictures of this bridge. And if I woke up on that bridge, if I went there and just went to bed and woke up and looked over the bridge, I'd be like, this is pretty.
Yeah.
But when I suffer, when I run.
On the state park? Is it in the bridge on the trail?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I run to that bridge, I look over and I go, this is beautiful.
And you feel the euphoria.
Well, and I feel like I can do anything I want. I always say running makes me a poet, makes me a songwriter, makes me a comedian.
Yeah, all your good things.
All those good things. And then when I'm done running, I come back to reality.
That's so cool. That makes me want to run.
Yeah, well, I would not give up on running.
Well,
pace yeah, yourself. Maybe
my
you
back
just
hurt. It just looks weird.
Well, maybe the muscles
I
will
exercise.
Get stronger.
Really into Pilates right now.
I do Pilates. They're just expensive.
I don't go often enough for it to be expensive.
I did Pilates once. Well, listen, Julie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
My gosh, it's already done? We already talked for an hour?
55 minutes. I think
wow,
we're past.
Flew by.
It's 2 minutes past 10. I don't
you
want
know,
to
thank
keep...
you for having me. This is stepping out of my comfort zone. When, yeah. When you messaged me, I was like,
Scary.
I like podcasts. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you saying nice things about my business, about my music. So that's, you're a nice person, huh?
I said only the truth.
That's really nice of you. Well, not everyone is nice like that.
Well, listen, we have a great community of small business owners. This podcast has always been about the person that's sitting on the couch going, I want to open my own business. And the testimonials of people that do it, you know, and the amount of work and the dedication. If you're willing to put in the work, I always say for my small business, just don't steal the money. And you should make it. It should be fine.
Yeah, you mean steal the money from yourself, or
right from myself?
Well, sorry,
that's okay.
Sorry, you made me laugh.
Well, but it's almost like that, right? Yeah. Because I remember when
you take it from the pot. If you take it, you take it from the pot that pays the bills.
Well, so, I remember when I first opened it, I was like, I called Matt. I'm like, I got $3,000, and he goes, "Have you paid the rent?" I go, "Oh no, the bills, no, taxes, no." You don't have anything. I was like, bye.
It's not real money.
Right.
No, you might think for a second, you're like, oh my gosh, I have so much cash here.
I'm rich.
You're like, no. We learned that a long time ago.
So it's always just, you know, for the person that may be sitting there going, you know, I'm thinking about trying it. It's about sharing that story. And that's.
Yeah. And I would say anyone thinking about it, talk to someone doing it. Get all the tricks of the trade that you can. Because like Jim and his family had done the seashell shops, and they told me a lot of things that at first I found annoying. They'd say, don't become friends with your staff. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? But then I figured out pretty soon, you can be friendly. You want to be a nice, you got to remain that you're the boss, that relationship. But all these little tricks, I remember we wanted to, the indoor bounce house, we were looking at a place that was 3 times in rent in a better location, smaller. And Patty was like, let's write down your money. What are you going to charge? Let's project. How much do you think you're going to make? How much do you need to make a profit? What's your rent cost? What are going to be your, she made us really do a business plan, a basic, like on a piece of paper, like chicken scratch. She's like, if you rent that place for 3 times, that takes all your profit. It was the best advice because we would have not made it because we barely made a profit. We worked so hard just to like make it be a solvent business. And like, I think it's good to get, not just be too idealistic when you start a business. You have to be, I have a lot of friends who come to me and have these ideas. I'm like, well, how are you going to make money with that? Like, what's your business plan? Like, I'm not saying I don't have an MBA, but just think about Brax taxes, basic stuff. How much do you need to make? And like, think of everything you can. Like, that's, I think, a pretty basic thing. And if you think you have a good idea or there's a hole in the market or a need in the market and you think you can make money, go for it.
Yep.
But you got to organize all that stuff first.
Well, and my buddy Carlos, he has the floats, the urban float. And I was, and I told him because he's like, I feel like they're going to start shutting everything down again. And I go,
they can't.
I go, you know, the good thing, Carlos, and I'll tell you this, the same thing. You have a great product.
Yeah. You know, we love that spot. We went so much to Urban
Float. I mean, but you have a great product. I mean, you have an amazing product, which is a bounce house. The kids love that place. And in any other time of the year, freaking place is, I mean, killing it. It's crazy.
Thank
in there.
You.
And
well, that's what
so
I,
you have
it's
a great
made me
product.
Be humbled. It's humble because we had, I mean, the old place, God, I worked so hard to stretch a dollar. So I feel like I have that good, very frugal. And like, I got that. And I feel like now I'm back to that. So it's funny how I'm so glad I had that business that was hard to run, where I had to work because I couldn't pay anyone. I'm glad I did that hard work to be able to do it now. Because right now, if Jim and I just started off with this Shelby Bounce, I think we wouldn't be as good at cutting the fat and trimming it down. You know what I mean? So every hard thing of suffering you do, you're learning a whole new skill set.
You're building
like we're
character.
We're all learning. Yeah.
Not
and that's
characters.
What we're all going through now.
I have a shirt that says, what's it say? Something. Oh my God, I can't remember what it says. I made it up. it says building character, not characters.
Oh, I like that. that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And that's, I think there's more to the shirt. I forget. I make up stupid crap and then have it made and then I forget what it says.
You're flowing. You're on that run. Things are coming to you.
Well, listen, I know you got a busy schedule. So
you got to go to work.
You got to go to work. Thank you so much for coming on.
It was a pleasure. This was super fun. I'm impressed. Like, I had no idea you had all these podcasts you're hosting. I love your system. I want to come in here with my guitar next time.
Would you come back?
It's a good mic. I like this.
Will you come back and do the podcast and we can just focus on music?
Yeah. Honda, that's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll let this one air out a bit. But when maybe at the end of maybe after Christmas or something.
Yeah,
we'll
I'm around.
I appreciate
here.
It.
Thank you. Have a great day.
So real quick, Shelby Bounce is open.
Shelby Bounce is open. And we just extended our hours. We found a lot of people were coming in and like only being able to buy a half an hour. So we have our new fall hours. We are 10 to 8 Monday through Thursday, then Friday and Saturday, 10 to 10.
Okay.
And then Sunday, 11 to 8.
And still doing the birthday parties.
Yeah. Book your time spot you want, because what I'm going to do is, because I'm going to keep it limited. Like right now, our weekends may have 2 birthdays a day. I'm really not going to have more than,
right.
I don't want a lot of birthdays. So I'm going to take away the time slot. So get your time slot now if you think you already have one in November and December, because I'm just going to try to keep a 30% capacity in mind. So, yep.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you being part of this community. And
thank you. Thanks for what you do for the community.
Hey.
Yeah.
What can I do?
It's good stuff.
How can I help? All right, Julie. Listen, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.